Y'all bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you thanks. We give you praise for this Sabbath day, Father, this weekly feast that we have to just remind us that not only of you and your good works, but of creation and of the blessings and fellowship that you give us every day. And just everything we take for granted, Father. And as I speak these words, I pray that they be right and true, that your people use discernment to glean what is truth and to cast off what is not, and that you just be with me as I speak these words, and that you give comfort to those people who mourn. And we give you thanks for the safe travels that our youth had over to the assembly in Shalom. I pray that you bless them and their time there, that you let them just reap good fruit from that trip, that you bless them during the Sabbath day. And we thank you for everything you do for us in Yeshua's perfect name. Hallelujah. So, a few things. This is not a message I was intending on giving. Ryan was scheduled to speak today. I've had this message in the hopper for a while. I wasn't planning on giving it, at least not yet. The timing never really felt right. However, you know what it did, you know what Scripture says about our timing, right? Man makes his plans, right? I was like, oh, I'll just hang on to this message and just wait for the timing to be right. Well, with a recent shakeup in the schedule, this is what I had ready, so I guess the timing better be right. And it's ironic because Ryan, I'm not going to spoil what he was going to talk about. I'll give you the gist, the quick little rundown, quick. It's going to be about health. It's going to be about health. And so, ironically, I'm talking about death today. But I promise it's not going to be depressing. I'm hoping nobody's going to be weeping in the corner. But if anything, it's really going to make you want to hear Ryan's message next time. So, but anyway, I want to talk to you today about death, particularly the death of those who walk as Yahweh commands them. The saints, the righteous people. Death is something that is difficult to grapple. It's something we all face. Every person who has ever lived has faced death at some point. But even after billions of deaths and thousands of years, we all still fear it, question it, and even misunderstand it. Death is one of those things that I think we have blinders on about. On one hand, we all believe that once you die, it's going to, for us, Yahweh forbid, I go. It's going to be like an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. For me, we all, you know, the world around me still goes on at its usual pace, but I won't know the difference, right? We all believe that. On the other hand, we seem to struggle with that. Often people question Yahweh's timing. I know people who have lost their faith because somebody close to them died sooner than they were ready for. It's happened. They question him. They question his goodness. They question his existence. They ask questions like, why did he take so-and-so while they were so young? Or why did he take mom and dad? They were such good people. And the truth is, we really don't know how or why Yahweh chooses to take people when he does. But the scripture does give us some explanation. Our first scripture of the day is going to be in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 57:1. The righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from the evil. He shall enter into peace, and they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Now that is significant. It might be hard to accept. Scripture states that Yahweh removes the righteous to spare them from evil. So while we fear the loss of loved ones, perhaps it happens because Yahweh sees something coming down the pipe that he couldn't bear to watch them go through. He'd rather take them now than lose them later. And I'll explain that in a minute. As hard as it is to hear this, we look at death very selfishly. We tend to make it all about us. But like we said, heard from the prophet Isaiah, the righteous perishes and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away and no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. Yahweh doesn't want anyone to perish. Let that be known. In a perfect world, nobody would die. But as you and I both know, that is not what we have. We don't have a perfect world. Over in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's funny, because on one hand, you have people that are like, oh, Yahweh took him too soon. And then on the other hand, you have people saying, oh, why is this going on for so long? He's caught between a rock and a hard place with his people. He can't win. It seems like he's always having to explain himself, and it's never good enough. He has long suffering for our benefit. He hopes, he lets those people live for as long as he does because he's hoping they come to repentance. Because once they're gone, then it's time for judgment. And so you got to think, if he decides to cut a life short, in a roundabout way, it's an act of mercy. Because if you live a long life and evil overtakes you and you renounce your faith or you fall away, was your extra 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 years, was it worth it? Was it worth it, or would it be better for you to walk in your uprightness, like Isaiah says, when he takes these righteous and merciful people away? Yahweh would rather that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. And he has mercy on those righteous people who walk uprightly, plucking them away from the wicked world, as to spare them from evil. Again, Satan, the devil, the evil one, is absolutely relentless. He doesn't look at, consider Job. Think about Job. Think about everything he went through. It's a conundrum. It's a conundrum. That being said, Yahweh's reasoning is high above our own. But that being all of that being said, losing a loved one is a sting unlike anything else we ever experience in our life. The moments leading up to the passing of a loved one are some of the hardest times I've personally ever been through. I remember keeping myself awake for hours. And I remember the last several years of my father's life, I mean, it was just miserable for me. Because I was, and it's not because he was suffering or anything like that, it's because I was making myself sick with worry. I keep myself awake, I couldn't sleep. And I just wonder, how am I going to handle it? What is it going to be? Oh, my goodness. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And that dread is something that is in everybody. Every person has it. It's almost like we're born and we've got this little nugget in us. And it's like everybody experiences it at one point or another. It's like software on a computer that desperately tries to shut itself down whenever it's confronted with something it doesn't like. And I remember as my father was passing, it was a interesting thing because here I was just beside myself, but he was fine. He was witnessing to anyone who would listen. He was witnessing to anyone who wouldn't listen. He loved Yahweh and he told the world about him. And in those moments leading up to that final moment, I struggled and I worried. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I couldn't see past those worries. And I couldn't see past that selfishness enough to trust Yahweh and his promises. Yeshua has this to say about worry. This is Matthew 6, 24 through 34. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What will you eat or what will you drink? Nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not this life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if Elohim so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, there's a lot of application in this, in these verses. There's a lot of application here, not just in what I'm talking about. You can apply this to just generally across so many things. There's so much here. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or even about your body. We have to come to terms with the trials and limitations of our bodies, even if that means someone might lose their life early. As Messiah states, life is more than food and the body more than clothing. And what our walk is more than living. It's what's coming. Our walk is more than what we experience today, tomorrow, next week, last week. It's more, it's all about what is coming after this. This life we live today, right now, is more than food, it's more than water, it's more than even our bodies. We live to serve the Almighty Yahweh, and we come to him through our Savior, Yeshua. Even if this body fails us, it is our goal to be with them forever in a new body, a spiritual body, one that will never fail, one that will exist in perfection forever. Over in Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but Elohim is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Yahweh is the reason. Well, I think it was Jamon. He just said it. Because you are, we are. That's it. Yahweh is the reason we exist in this life. And that we strive, we use this life. The entire point of this life is to use it to strive to be found worthy of the next. To be righteous, to walk as he walked. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Light affliction. Now I know people that have gone through some horrible, horrible things. But again, here we have a letter addressed to the Corinthians, and he's calling it a light affliction. It's temporary, though. The troubles, no matter how hard, no matter how depraved the world is around us, no matter what someone goes through, and you think it can't get any worse, it's temporary. These trials point towards something beyond our comprehension. And our faith in these eternal unseen things, it's essential. That's why our day-to-day walk is so important. This is why we have to build each other up, fortify our faith. And this is why when we ask for prayer, for the strengthening of our faith, and for the brethren to lean on in times of hardship, so when the time comes for Yahweh to take our life from us, that we will be prepared to give it back to him with praise and thanksgiving, not forsaking the faith we have in him. And that is something that I think a lot of people struggle with. Like I said, death is I think it's misunderstood. It's necessary. It exists for a reason. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 42 through 44. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. And it is sown a dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. And it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So you can take comfort in these words. Yahweh has a plan. And for those we've lost, take heart. Because if they lived a righteous life, then they are secure in his care and have nothing to fear from his judgment. Nothing. I have no doubt. I know people. I know good people who have gone to sleep in Yahshua. And I have total confidence that they have nothing to fear. Because they were Yahweh's people. And they walked uprightly. Yahweh set before us all life and good, death and evil. If those blessed, righteous people who have chosen life, they've chosen that path, as stated in Deuteronomy 5:15-16, then again, they have nothing to fear. Deuteronomy 5:15-16, see today I set before you life and prosperity, death and destruction, for I command you today to love Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in obedience to him and keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and Yahweh your Elohim will bless you in the land you are entering into to possess. So as long as we align with Yahweh's decrees and laws, we have nothing to fear. He will bless us in the land we're going over to possess. Israel of old was fighting for the promised land. We are promised eternity in paradise with Yahweh Almighty. That's what we're fighting for, not a plot of land. Not a kingdom of this earth. And those people who passed before us, that's what they wanted too. These words remain true well after they're gone. Romans 14, verse 8. If we live, we live for Yahweh. And if we die, we die for Yahweh. So whether we live or we die, we belong to Yahweh. So long as we live for Yahweh, when we die for him, he's got it. And that's a key thing. And that's why I called the sermon The Blessed Death of the Righteous. Because things aren't quite so simple for those outside the covenant. It's not quite so simple. We hear about the hope we have in Yahshua all the time. There's a reason why we call it that. There's a reason why we reach for that hope, why we cling to that hope, because we have to. When Joshua, going all the way back to Joshua, when he was preparing to lead the Israelites into the promised land, finally, it was finally happening. They were getting ready to reap, to pluck the fruit that was that promise. They were getting ready to do it. Yahweh came to him and gave him these words. In Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid or dismayed, for Yahweh your Elohim is with you wherever you go. And I'm going to touch more on Joshua here just in a minute. So even when things look bleak, if mom or dad, sister or brother, aunt or uncle are facing seemingly staggering odds, be strong and of good courage. And in those moments, those last moments, you know, hindsight's 20/20. In those last moments of someone's life, you need to be strong for them. They were strong already. They've done it. It's your turn. Just like it was Joshua's turn after Moses. Yahweh does not take the death of his saints lightly. I want to read a psalm. Psalm 116, to be exact. This psalm was quoted to me the day my father died, and it gave me great comfort. I don't think I'd ever really read Psalm 116 until that point, and I will comment here and there as we go through it. So I don't have this on the slides, so please, wait, do I? No. Going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. Psalm 116. I love Yahweh, because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Now we have been, all of us have been in a perilous place and cried out to the Father. And when he answers, we have to know we have a rock that we can lean on forever. Yahweh is faithful in that. Verse 3, the pains of death surrounded me, and the pains of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Verse 4, then I called upon the name of Yahweh. O Yahweh, I implore you, deliver my soul. Now, death lurks around the corner. Fear and dread it instills is still very present in our life. The anxiety and stress it brings is very much present. But we have a hope in Yahshua because he has defeated death. It's been done. And the end of our physical life is only the beginning of eternity with both Yahweh and Yahshua. Verse 5, gracious is Yahweh and righteous. Yes, our Elohim is merciful. Yahweh preserves the simple, and I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for Yahweh has dealt bountifully with you. It is only because of Yahweh's mercies that we are not consumed. Let those who are labor and are heavily laden come to him, that they may find rest for their souls. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from failing. I will walk before Yahweh in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to Yahweh for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh, and I will pay my vows to Yahweh now in the presence of his people. Verse 15. Precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. O Yahweh, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant, and you have loosed my bonds, and I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I will call upon the name of Yahweh, and I will pay my vows to Yahweh now before the presence of all his people, in the courts of Yahweh's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise Yahweh. That gave me a lot of comfort. Yahweh is in control. And whenever I was faced with that, it's given me strength. Because we've lost so many wonderful people. Now, and it's a comforting reminder that the sting of death does not only affect us. It affects Yahweh too. He suffers. He watches as his beloved children are born, live, and die, often in rebellion, and it breaks his heart. Imagine seeing what he sees. Imagine seeing the children who you love so profoundly go through what we go through. If anything, we live, we grow old, Yahweh willing, and we die. And then we don't have to worry about it anymore. We ran the race, we're done. Yahweh's there, still, watching, always, forever. It's immense. I could not fathom that. Verse 15 is particularly powerful. Precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. Again, the death of one of his called and chosen is not something he takes lightly. So, if mom, dad, son, daughter, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, or friend who is righteous has been taken, even if it seemed too soon or unfair, Yahweh has his hand in this. Don't hate Yahweh for this. He took them because he loves them. And while that sting doesn't quickly fade, you can take heart in the promise that Yahweh has in store for those who love him. And someday, we'll all be sharing in that promise. In my opinion, I'm going back to Joshua again. I'm going to go through chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And I think it illustrates this point perfectly for us. Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, it came to pass that Yahweh spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, and even unto the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon that I have given unto you, as I had said unto Moses. From the wilderness and for this in this Lebanon even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee or forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers given them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it, to the right, to the hand, or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for Yahweh thy Elohim is with thee wherever thou goest. Now, there is something here that happened. Yahweh repeated himself three times in three verses. When our lives are rocked to the core by the death of someone we love, by someone we're close to, family, friends, or in Joshua's case, a beloved leader, which I'm sure he was probably a lot of things to Joseph. Yahweh gets it. It isn't easy. It's arduous. It requires us to step up and push through the pain in order to be a righteous leader or be strong for someone else, to have no fear and to trust Yahweh with our hearts as it is Him alone who sees us through. No matter what we're faced with, we have to remember that Yahweh's with us. It is Yahweh. He is the one who takes life, but He is also the one who gives. We have to trust Him and live the life that we have as best we can, with no fear and the courage to carry on when those who come before us go rest in Yeshua. I mean, Moses. Yahweh loved Moses. Yahweh loved him. Spent a lot of time with him. And when he was laid to rest, Yahweh didn't throw his hands up. He said, okay, Moses is gone. Joshua, it's your turn. And then Yahweh dealt with Joshua from that point on. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Over and over and over again. Those who you look up to and rely on will eventually rest in Yeshua. And we as Yahweh's people must be able to step up, be leaders and supporters of the work. Like Joshua after Moses died, we have to be strong. And we can also take solace in the fact that those righteous people who came before us have nothing left to fear. No more struggles. And if they were upright as commanded here, they have nothing to fear. 2 Timothy 4, 5 through 8. I don't think I have, yeah. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. And I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which Yahweh, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also all of those who have longed for his appearing. That's a bold statement. That's a bold statement. The righteous have nothing to fear from a righteous judge. I mean, that's a given. Imagine if you had righteous judges in this world we live in now. They're few and far between, but even a righteous judge is limited in his understanding. Yahweh is not limited. He knows every detail. He knows every detail of every case that comes across. He gets it. So if you are truly righteous, which we all strive to be, and he is righteous, good job. You got nothing to fret about. Let's look over at Proverbs 14:32. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has refuge in his death. In the end of our physical life brings us to a refuge in him. You know, the parable about Lazarus and the rich man in Abraham's bosom. Proverbs 14:32 is a continuation of the points made in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, right? Job 13:15 through 16, the first half of 16. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him, and he shall be my salvation. Yahweh can take you. But if you are walking after him, in the footsteps of the leaders and the men and the women who came before you, the righteous men and women who came before you, you will be able to defend your ways before him. Because he'll get it. And he will be your salvation. So, remember. Remember, if you take one thing away from this, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for Yahweh the Elohim is with you wherever you go. He repeated this three times in Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Take comfort in that promise. Yahweh is with us through this life. He's with us through the struggles. And even when we pass into the grave and await the resurrection, he's with us. And ultimately, he will be with us forever. And I think that's something we can all take comfort in. So I pray this message has been a blessing to you. I pray that you take solace in the promise that Yahweh's given. And for those people who you've lost, it's hard, I understand. It'll never be easy. But just take comfort in that and be strong and of good courage. May Yahweh bless you.